the Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans podcast. My name is Adrian. I'll be your host. In this show, I will be discussing history's notorious mistresses and lovers. In today's episode, we will focus on Servilia of Rome. She was the mother of Marcus Junius Brutus, or as we will call him, Brutus, and longtime favorite lover of Julius Caesar. Every time I see Caesar's name, I want to either see Caesar or Kaiser. But I'm going to stick with Caesar, even though it reminds me of the salad. Before we dive into Servilia's life, let's discuss the definitions of what a mistress is. Per the Cambridge Dictionary, a mistress is a woman who has a sexual extramarital affair with a married man. My contextual definition is a mistress is a woman who has a sexual extramarital affair with a man, regardless of his married state. So let's get into today's character. We have, obviously, Servilia of Rome, Marcus Junius Brutus. He'll be known as Marcus. That was her first husband. We have Marcus Junius Brutus. He'll be known as Brutus, which is her son, Julius Caesar, Cato the Younger, Cicero, Gaius Cassius Longinus. I can see a dick joke coming out of that. Junia 1, 2, and 3. I'll get into that later. Octavian or Augustus Caesar. Mark Antony. And yes, a brief mention of Cleopatra. Don't worry. Relax. She'll get her own episode. Please note that the show discusses sex, sexual assault, politics, and religion. Listener discretion is advised. Let's get into her early background. Servilia was born around 100 BCE before Common Era to the Servilii Capiones family, a patrician family or leading ruling family in the Roman Republic up until the imperial overthrow by around the 40s BCE. To late 30s BCE. Basically, a coup d'etat by Octavian/Augustus. We'll get into him a little bit later. Her early life. There's not a lot of information. I mean, dealing with ancient sources, so, but at least these are better than some of the ancient Greek sources we dealt with previously. Her parents were Quintus Servilius Capio and Livius Drusa of the Drusus family. She had two full siblings, but in or around 96 BCE, when Servilia was around 4 years old, her parents later divorced. That sounds like a good beginning. It is unknown if her father remarried after his divorce, but her mother Livia did remarry. Her second husband, Marcus Porcius Cato, well, remember I mentioned all those characters from earlier? Here's one of them. In this marriage, Roman politician and orator Cato the Younger was born of Livia Drusa and Marcus Porcius Cato. Good lord, here we go with these names. And a younger sister was also born, Portia. Way to be creative. Around 91 BCE, due to her mother and stepfather's death, Servilia and her siblings, both full and half, went to live with their maternal uncle, Marcus Livius Drusus. But he too died in 91 BCE as well. He was murdered in his own home. She and her siblings then moved to another maternal uncle's household, Mamericus Aemilius Lepidus Livianus, or to her maternal grandmother, Cornelia, or potentially a paternal aunt, Servilia, who she may have been named after. These names, not as hard as the Greek ones. They're not as hard as to pronounce, but good grief. Find other names. They like to name everything after everybody. Servilia, like all other heiresses in history, became an adult and then had a substantial estate, thanks to all of her dead family members. Servilia's relationships. Like I said, she's had quite a few. Given the estimated birth of Given the estimated birth of 100 BCE, which is great for my math's adverse brain, we can conclude that around 87 to 86 BCE, Servilia married her first husband, Marcus Junius Brutus. And I'm going to be referring to her first husband as Marcus. Again, you'll understand why later. Servilia married her first husband, and in that marriage, she gave birth to Marcus Junius Brutus by around 85 BCE. So she was about 14, 15 when she gave birth to her son. Kind of sounds like Margaret Beaufort way, way, way in the future, but very young to give birth. So Brutus, her son, was named after his father, Marcus. In 77 BCE, her husband Marcus was executed by Pompey the Great due to his populist ideas. He wanted to reinstate political and civil rights to the colonial residents, which pissed off Sulla at the time, who was the dictator of Rome and a military general. However, he survived Sulla's ire and only to be later executed by Pompey in 77 BCE. So she's been widowed. If it's 77, then it would be 23. She would have been 23. Still very young. Due to her husband's execution, her relationship with her son Brutus became closer. She even had her son adopted into her family's line, since of course he was initially part of the Junius Brutus family, so that way he may inherit any familial estates and other properties. His name after his adoption into the Servilii Capiones family was Quintus Servilius Capio, or Caepio Brutus. I'm tired of all these names. Around 76 BCE, or as early as late 77 BCE, Servilia married for the second and final time. She married Decimius Junius Silanus. I hear a butt joke coming. Silanus eventually became a Roman consul in 62 BCE. So she's marrying these powerful men. Although her first husband wasn't part of the patrician or noble class, he was more of a plebeian, but a well-placed plebeian. In this new family, Servilia became quite repetitive with her daughter's names. Junia Prima, Junia Secunda, and Junia Tertia. So if you like Dr. Seuss, thing one, thing two, you know what? Fuck it. Thing three. Oh, and she did have one son named Marcus Junius Silanus. Again, I don't get it with these names. They're gonna be very confused. Wow. Way to keep it simple. Do you think when she called her daughter, she went 1, 2, 3 or Prima Secunda Tertia? It should be noted, as this will become important later, daughter 3, Tertia, marries Gaius Cassius Longinus. Keep that in mind. So now that she's popped out 5 children, which was the goal of the patrician girls to breed and populate the Roman society, it is here where things get spicy. Around 59 BCE, Servilia meets Julius Caesar. Yes, that Julius Caesar. Remember, he's kind of a meme, or at least he is on every March 15th. This same year, Servilia became a widow. How convenient. At this time, too, due to her widowed state, she received multiple inheritances from various wealthy family members. Also, can I have some of these family members? I could really use some of these family members. We come to Julius Caesar, the famed military hero, social leader, and of course, the ladies' man. He couldn't keep his dick under his toga. He was known for his many infidelities, including his multi-decade affair with Servilia, a future guest, Cleopatra. It is possible, if not probable, that Caesar and Servilia initiated their affair prior to her second husband's death in or around 59 BCE. Other sources, including Harriet Flower's book, Servilia, affair may have started around 63 BCE. You want to know how that got around? Remember Servilia's younger brother, Cato the Younger? Apparently, sources recorded are to be believed, Servilia was posting love notes to Caesar through Cato. Unbeknownst to Cato, of course. Little bro wasn't thrilled of his political contemporary was sharing his sister's bed. Servilia and Caesar were corresponding while Caesar was on campaign. Whether it be Gaul, Northern Italy campaign, they were still talking. Though, not exactly sexting, but the Roman version of it. Our friend Plutarch, welcome back, states that Servilia was passionately and madly in love with Caesar, but doesn't comment on Caesar's affection or devotion for Servilia. However, reports have noted that Caesar did have deep and abiding affection for Servilia. In fact, she may have been his favorite mistress. Another issue arose with her relationship with Caesar was that her brother Cato and son Brutus were politically opposed against Caesar during the Roman Civil War from 49 to 45 BCE. The Civil War mainly consisted of two factions, Caesar and Pompey. Well, Pompey the Great. Caesar supported included, of course, Cleopatra VII, Mark Antony, and Servilia's husband, before dying, Silanus, among others. In Pompey's corner, little shit Ptolemy XIII, Cleopatra's little brother, before he whacks him, by the way, Servilia's brother Cato, and Quintus Caecilius Metellus Pius Scipio, another notable general. During this military quagmire, Servilia still stood in her affection and love for Caesar. Want to know how well Caesar's affection ran deep for Servilia? In 59 BCE, during his consulship, he gifted her, after a campaign, a 6 million sesterces priced pearl. It was a black pearl that he got from one of his campaigns. Y'all, that pearl in the 21st century's conversion is about $1.5 billion. I'll repeat, $1.5 billion with a B as in Bravo, billion dollars. You think he has any available brothers? Sources, including new friend to the show, Suetonius, which we need to take with him a big grain of salt, states that Servilia was Caesar's favorite mistress. Their relationship lasted from around 59 BCE, or potentially 63 BCE, all the way until 44 BCE when Julius Caesar died. Oh, sorry, he was assassinated. Spoilers! As previously stated, we do know that Caesar did not keep his spaghetti noodle under his toga. Propagating another scandalous rumor, it is supposed, if not outright alleged, that Servilia, in essence, pimped out her daughter, Junia Tertia, daughter number 3, in 47 BCE to Caesar. It's not found, it'd be an unsubstantiated claim. Cicero, the Roman orator, philosopher, and politician, quipped, "It is a better bargain than you think,
for there is a third off. What this is in relation is that Caesar went to go to an auction to buy up a bunch of properties that he was going to go give to Servilia, and that's why Cicero made that quip. So the third off, he may have been sleeping with Servilia's daughter, Junia Tertia, daughter number three. It can be summarily assumed that Servilia, especially with the length of their affair with Caesar, has significant affection for her. Their relationship may have endured at least 15, if not up to 20, over 20 years. Of course, this isn't to say that Caesar didn't put his spaghetti noodle in other bowls, but their relationship reflects not only the sexual compatibility, but also the mental and physical equality. I don't think he would have just gone back to her if he wasn't pleased with her in any capacity. Now, we need to talk about March 15th, 44 BCE, the assassination of Julius Caesar. Rather, March 15th, 44 BCE. This day is now known as the Ides of March. Caesar was assassinated by Marcus Junius Brutus and Gaius Cassius Longinus, her son and her son-in-law. These two killed her lover. I guess when you become a powerful and successful general and leader, or consul, in Rome, and your ambition becomes so large, you need to be killed. That's a simplified explanation. Or rather, further insight would be, Brutus did not want Rome to go back into a monarchy, which is what, by the actions of Caesar, were taking or were starting to look like. And so that was his main reason for wanting to assassinate Caesar. Julius Caesar, after all his political and military conquests, wished to be and was granted the title of lifetime dictator of Rome and a consul for 10 years. Brutus and Cassius, along with the Roman Senate, saw how Caesar started making the Roman Republic more of the former Roman monarchy. This again was overturned like 500 years ago. Caesar, one of the issues that arose from the Senate when they were bequeathing these titles upon him is that when after the Senate said, okay, you're going to be dictator for life, because again, he was very popular with the people in the military. If you have the support of the military, you have the support of everybody. Because he was popular with the people and with the military, and he was given these titles, he didn't rise to respect the Senate after getting these titles. And that's one of the many issues that Caesar was targeted for. Just lack of respect for those who were in power. The Senate members started resenting Caesar. He did a bunch of other stuff that, to put it bluntly, Romans rejected Tarquinius, who was the last king of Rome, and because Caesar started acting like Lucius Tarquinius Superbus, they were not going to have any of it. For 500 years, Romans hated the ideas of kings. When Caesar started acting like a king, senators, led by Brutus, decided to whack him. But you know what's funny? After the death of Caesar and with the subsequent civil wars that happened, what does Rome turn into? An empire, which has an imperial family. You want to know what else prompted government dislike or the senatorial dislike of Caesar? 49 BCE, when, against senatorial mandates, Caesar crossed the Rubicon into Gaul, and that started a civil war that would eventually end the Roman Republic. With the uprising of Caesar's political and military machinations, where does Servilia come into play, or where is she during all of this? Apparently, Brutus and Cassius met at Servilia's home prior to the meeting at the Roman Curia to assassinate Caesar. Based upon her relationship and deep love and affection for Caesar, it is unlikely that Servilia either knew about the assassination or the planning of it against her longtime lover. However, it still went through. And being the concerned mother that she was, she worked to protect her family member. Remember, Brutus is not her only son, but Cassius was married to her daughter, Junia Tertia. You know, for being the third daughter, she certainly gets mentioned quite a bit. The one that may have been offered to Caesar, remember? We mentioned that earlier. Cicero describes Servilia as a nervous lady who may have been watching what she may have said and or any action she had may have taken, especially with how close she is and or was to Caesar's assassin. Her focus, like most affluent and important figures in Roman society, she focused on her family's marriages and trying to keep her son's political career alive. Brutus left with permission of the Roman government for a 10-day leave of absence. He went to his estate about 20 miles outside of Rome. To improve his political prospects, Brutus was hoping to host ceremonial games when he came back to Rome. This all changed and Brutus didn't end up heading the games. Instead, he gave it over to a friend to take over. However, Servilia was involved. She presided over making decisions, funding, and any senatorial contract. Because she was so integral in Roman society, due again to the prestige of her family, but also her connections to the Roman Senate and other important figures. She was able to wheel and deal in Roman politics. Though she could not vote, her influence had serious weight. She advocated for Brutus's and Cassius' return from exile in July of 43 BCE. In October of 42 BCE, Brutus died by suicide due to his failure militarily against Mark Antony during the Liberatorian Civil War. This was a civil war that was after Caesar's death. Another internal civil war, again, fighting for power. There was a power vacuum after Caesar died. After the Battle of Philippi, Antony sent Servilia Brutus's remains. In terms of what Servilia's life was after the death of Caesar, well, put forth her energies into the political careers of her son and son-in-law, as well as, the marriages of her daughters, Junia Primera, Secunda, and Tertia. 1, 2, and 3. After Brutus's suicide, she survived the political aftermath of the Liberatory Civil War, but not much is really known afterwards. It is believed, unlike many of her family members, she died peacefully and probably of natural causes between 27 to 23 BCE. So she also survived the Battle of Actium in 31 BCE between Octavian and Antony / Cleopatra. Her daughter, Junia Tertia, remember her, outlived her husband, mother, and that of Octavian, aka Augustus Caesar, adopted by Julius Caesar after he died in his will and became Caesar's heir. So after her death, instead of a Roman Republic like she had grown up with, it was now becoming the Roman Imperial family helmed by Augustus Caesar. So let's go back to our definitions of a mistress. A woman having a sexual relationship with a man, married or not. Remember Julius Caesar? Oh, I didn't mention this. Yeah, he was married to Calpurnia, whom he obviously cheated on her many a time. She was absolutely a mistress. Though she married twice, Servilia's relationship, extramarital for sure, is well known and documented. Remember, Cato is receiving those little love notes between her and Caesar. To say the least, learning of it, it has also been recorded that Servilia was Julius Caesar's favorite mistress. 15 to 20 years in that relationship. Again, it's on and off, but it was continuous. It wasn't just like stop, start over. But for 15, 20 years, that's a long relationship. He also bought her a 6 million sesterces pearl from one of his campaigns. He also bought her property. That's a testament to their relationship and how much they enjoyed each other's company. Though, you know what I didn't find was the fact that they didn't have any kids together. She was young enough to bear him children, but during the beginning of their relationship, but no records of any illegitimate children between the two of them have been noted and or found. Servilia shacked up with one of the most famous ancient history generals, aside from maybe Alexander the Great, and stayed loyal to him until his assassination. Servilia can be described as one of the best mistresses in history. Loyal, wanted, and respected by her lover. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. I enjoyed researching Servilia. I didn't know that much. I knew, based off of the shows that have been created over the years, including Rome, that she existed and she was important in a historical sense, but I didn't know as much as I did between the relationship between her and Caesar. And the fact that she was his longest, let alone his most favored mistress, that says something. I want a man, honestly, like Caesar. I don't care if he's dipping his spaghetti noodle in a different bowl. If he wants to buy me property and a 6 million sesterces pearl, which is, again, $1.5 billion, and then wants to keep my company, by all means. Then again, I also don't have any kids, especially any sons or son-in-laws that want to kill my lover. So, hey, that works for me. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Sex Scandal and Shenanigans. Be careful you don't get into shenanigans. I may end up telling your story next. If you're interested in contacting the podcast, I have updated my email to sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. You are also welcome to visit my website, sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site. The podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Adrian. Thank you again, and bye.